Good morning, Miracle Life Family Church. It is good to be with you, even though it's through video, but so glad that you've assembled together wherever you are for church, and we're going to get into God's Word, and God's Word is alive, it is powerful, it is active, and it's going to work in our hearts, it's going to work in our minds today. So thank you for being a part of this service. Last week, we looked into God's Word about the storms of life, and the times that we're living in right now, they seem stormy. And storms, we said, are characterized in that they're unusual. Storms typically don't happen every day. Storms can be dangerous. They can make a difference. They can be harmful, all right? But the other thing about storms is that they're momentary. They don't last forever. But we can learn some great biblical lessons on how people who were followers of Jesus, how did they respond in storms and in stormy conditions? That means it is rough. It is dangerous. People are freaking out. What do we do? Are we supposed to just kind of follow the cue of the world? And are we supposed to just do what everybody else does? Or do we have a different way of thinking, of believing, and of acting? And I would say, obviously from the Bible, is we follow a different master and we follow a different set of information when it comes to storms. And so last week we saw the account where Jesus and his disciples got into the boat. Jesus said, let's go to the other side. And as they were going to the other side, huge storm arose and the disciples made two huge mistakes. They said, don't you care? And we're going to drown. Now, they weren't drowning. They weren't about to drown. And so they made a wrong speculation about the future, and they made a wrong assumption about the character of Jesus. All right? And so we can't do either one. But we're going to look at another storm story, another storm account in the New Testament of someone who did better than the 12 disciples, and that is the Apostle Paul. All right? So get in your Bible. It might be on your cell phone or just get a copy of the Bible you have where you are, and let's open up to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27, and as the disciples did not believe, because Jesus actually said, where is your faith? Meaning, I can't see it. It's not here in the boat. We're going to see incredible faith of that was in the heart and in the mouth of Paul towards God in the middle of the storm. And it not only saved him, but it saved those that he was with. All right, so Acts 27. There's only 28 chapters, so we're getting to the end of the book of Acts. And Paul has had quite an adventurous life and has planted churches and has raised up ministers and people like Titus and Timothy. And yet he knew by the Spirit, and other people had confirmed, and it was kind of this holy mandate that I've got to get to Rome. I have to testify before Caesar of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so he was going there, and he wasn't going to die until he did it, until he finished and fulfilled his calling and his destiny. And so it's almost happening. All right. And so in Acts chapter 26, he's in trouble, and as a Roman citizen, he says, I appeal to Caesar. All right. And so he is a prisoner on his way to Rome, and he's getting in a boat. All right. So he didn't book this journey. Someone else booked it for him. All right. And he's not a dangerous criminal, but he is you could say he's captive. All right. So he doesn't have freedom of movement or what he's going to do. All right. So he's in this boat. They're eventually supposed to get to Rome. But again, just like the journey that Jesus had with the disciples to the other side, something funny happened on the way to Rome. Now, why was Paul going to Rome? God called him to go there. He was supposed to go there. This is in the will of God. This is not a Jonah storm. This is not you're in trouble storm. This is I'm following God with all my heart, and a storm arose. All right, so let's pick up this in Acts 27 and verse 9. All right, so already the storm was started. It wasn't as bad as it's going to get, but it had already started. In verse 9, Now, when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them. So here you have a prisoner advising the captain, the experienced sailors. Paul advised them, saying, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also of our lives." Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. Now, there's some indication here that they also had cargo, and they were going to be making money on the cargo, all right? And so this guy, this Christian, this new fanatical religion we've been hearing about, he says, "I perceive." Yet we got to make some money. And so they were more persuaded by perhaps what they wanted to accomplish or perhaps what their experience from their past. They didn't listen to Paul, all right? Let's pick up the story in verse 13. "When the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their desire," so it looked like it was now working out, "putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, a tempestuous head wind arose called Euclidean." And in that day, you would be like, "Ooh, not that one." All right, so it was bad news. "So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. And running under the shelter of an island called Claudia, we secured the skiff with difficulty." So now they are in panic mode. Now they are in emergency mode. And even what they're doing is difficult. "When they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, fearing lest they should run aground on the Syrtis sands. They struck sail and so were driven." So what they tried, it wasn't working. They were being driven by the storm rather than riding the storm. "And because we were exceedingly tempest tossed." All right. So when the Bible says exceedingly or much or very, it means it. All right. So it was bad. It was getting worse. "The next day they lightened the ship." All right. "On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands." So now stuff that they needed is going overboard to be lighter. Perhaps this will help navigate the storm. Verse 20, "Now, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days." Now, I don't know about you. I've never been in a storm that long. Not the sun, not the stars. It is so clouded over. The storm is so severe. Not one day, not 2 days, but many days. "And no small tempest beat on us. All hope that we would be saved was finally given up." Meaning, all of these experienced sailors, and here's the thing we know from this story, is they had been in storms before. They had ways of navigating storms. Yeah, if you do this and you do that, you do the ropes here, that didn't work. It got worse. And then finally, they just said, "We give up. All hope has now been lost." Doesn't this sound a little bit like the disciples? "We are going to drown. There's nothing that we can do." Now, the disciples weren't that as experienced as these guys were. These were much different conditions. This is the open sea. These are bigger boats, all right? So, but put yourself in Paul's situation, all right? Because he's the believer here. These people are not necessarily followers of Jesus, all right? They don't know what we know. Put yourself in Paul's situation. This storm was avoidable. "We don't have to be doing this. I knew this before we even started out. I perceived." Paul said, "I knew something. I perceived." Okay? So Paul was a prisoner, so he couldn't just change the plans. He couldn't say, "You guys can go ahead, but I'm going to get the next one over here. The the next bus, the next boat. No, he wasn't allowed to do that, so he was stuck with these guys. These were his storm mates. These were the people that he was going to be in this storm with. And Paul has just, to me, mind-boggling maturity during this storm and what he says and what he believes. All right, so we go back to the beginning here, verse 10. Paul says, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss." Huh, I guess Paul's a prophet. He's actually not. Repeatedly in the Bible, Paul said, "Paul, an apostle. Paul, an apostle." Now, there were people in the New Testament that were spoken of as prophets. Paul was not one of those guys, all right? Paul was an apostle. What's the fruit of an apostle's life? Apostolic work. Church planting. So an apostle is not somebody with a big church. An apostle is not somebody with a big ego. An apostle is someone that over their lifetime, the fruit of their ministry is that they raise up Timothy's and Titus. Churches are planted. And that is biblical New Testament fruit of apostolic ministry. And Paul certainly had that. So, yet Paul perceived. So you don't have to be a prophet to perceive. You just need to be a believer. All right. Jesus said, when I send you the Holy Spirit, among the things that he's going to do is that he will show you things to come. He'll show you. He'll let you in on information. Now, does he show you everything to come? No. All right. This very much could have been what we see in 1 Corinthians 12 as a word of wisdom. That is a word, not the whole story, but a word about something related to the future. So a glimpse, all right? And so Paul didn't know this any other way but by the Spirit. He perceived something with the help of the Holy Spirit. Now, why? It was to benefit people, all right? Personally, I don't think God reveals who's going to win the next World Cup or the African Cup of Nations, because it doesn't benefit anyone. There's no gospel help to having that information. It's just silly nonsense, all right? But here we have something that is very vital and it's very important. And so as a believer, what we see here is that God, at times, we don't see this at every time, but there may be times where God lets you know about a storm in advance. He lets you know about stuff that's going to happen, all right? Not necessarily to change it, but to be prepared. I remember when I was a Bible school student at Rhema in the United States, Brother Hagin said that in the 1970s, some of you weren't born, but in the 1970s, there was a lot of trouble around the world during that time and different things, and so the price of oil spiked, and there was, at least in the United States, there was a huge, huge recession, terrible unemployment and things. And before it happened, Brother Hagin had an impression. He went to his board and his staff. He said, you know, there's a recession coming. And so they prepared. They actually scaled back their staff by 30%, and they cut this and cut that and kind of got ready and had lots of cash. And when the recession happened, they just sailed right through it. All right. Why? Same thing as Paul, a perception, knowing something is going to happen. All right. So while there are storms happening around us, I'm imploring you as a believer, spend time with the Lord. You might be surprised what he allows you to perceive of what he gives to you by the Spirit. Now, if he chooses not to, certainly that's up to him. You and I are on a need-to-know basis, all right? But I do think if we don't spend all of our time watching the news, and don't spend all of our time listening to every conspiracy theory, and spend more time in the Bible and in prayer, God's going to say, hey, there's some stuff coming. I want you to be ready. All right, so this was for the benefit of Paul. It was for the benefit of the mission of God, but it was also for the benefit of these sailors. All right, had they listened to Paul, they wouldn't have lost all their cargo. And I believe this is a wonderful reflection of the character of God in the middle of a storm. Jesus saves. Jesus helps. Jesus lifts. All right. One of the names of Satan, the devil, is the destroyer. It's his very nature to pull down and to destroy and to harm. Okay, so we see the nature of God even in the midst of this story. All right, so there was deliverance in the midst of this, but it could have been avoided, but obviously it wasn't, and Paul couldn't do anything about that. Now, what we do also see, where we saw last week where Jesus stood up and rebuked the storm, Jesus doesn't rebuke this storm, nor does he impress on Paul to rebuke the storm, all right? Meaning we're gonna ride through this, okay? So, verse 11, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. Now, here's the thing. The things spoken by Paul didn't come from Paul. They came from the Holy Spirit, all right? So, sadly, these people were rejecting the help of God. They were rejecting the warning of God, all right? And God can lead supernaturally, in a sense, this one, and we'll see later, an angel was involved later, okay? But this was a perception, okay? But also, God can lead us, and he does lead us, and he wants to lead us through the supernatural word of God, okay? Because this is not Aesop's fables, all right? These are not just the musings of wise people, all right? The scripture we have, it is God-breathed. It comes from the mind and the heart of God for us, for our benefit, to help us, all right? And so there are things that we can learn from the Word of God. And as I was thinking about Paul's storm and the storm that you and I are facing and much of the world is facing right now, I recall for many, many years, here at Miracle Life, Pastor Haley and I are part of a board, some really, really awesome men and women that are part of our church that are gifted by God, they have experience, and they've walked through certain things of life that can help our church with great decisions when it comes to finances and administration and human resources and just tons of just great, great wisdom. And I remember for years, board members were saying, you know what, we need to make sure that we have cash reserves, at least 3 months, so that, meaning, we don't want to dip into it, but it's just there. And so, over time, we were able to do that, and we just kind of just kept it, and don't touch it, don't use it. And so, when this storm has hit Zambia and Lusaka, and there are people out of work, and there are people that are in trouble, Miracle Life, because of wisdom, perception, the goodness of God through his word and through people, Miracle Life, when this whole coronavirus thing and can't meet at church and under 50 and all these rules and regulations, we never had to one time, and even today, we don't have to make decisions based on the bank account because we can ride through this storm. We've got money to take us through, still be a blessing, still pay our staff 100% fully every month, just made payroll last week. We're going to make it again next month, all right? Why? Because the money's already in the bank. Now, is that just smarts? No. I believe it's God preparing us for storms, Now, maybe you're saying, you know, Pastor Walker, I wasn't really prepared for this storm. Well, just wait. There's another one coming. I'm not being negative or anything, but we live in a world, and there's going to be another deal like this. So let's be more ready next time. Amen? In our family, in our businesses, organizations like this where we might have some leadership. And so what a advantage right now that we have as a church and as staff and as leaders, executive, as board, that we're not wringing our hands, but we're saying, okay, God, what are you saying? What's best for our members? What's best for our leaders? What's best for our staff? How do we keep people safe and we don't have to be running around trying to drum up money somewhere? All right? So, Paul was in this storm because other people didn't listen to God. They didn't listen and heed the warning that God had. All right? So, one thing that I'm aware of, and I think you are too, is a lot of talk and speculation is still going on around the world, and by leaders and by some smart people, and some people I wonder about their smarts, but you know, who brought COVID-19 to the world? Was it concocted in a laboratory? Is this a plan for Bill Gates to take over the world? Did somebody eat a bat? Well, I'll be honest. Some of those ideas are beyond my pay grade. All right. Lots of ideas. All right. But one of the things that's consistent is everybody wants to blame someone. Who did it? Because I want to be mad at someone. I want to kind of focus my anger at someone. So a number of weeks ago in Zambia, as coronavirus count was going up around the world, we were at nil, zero. And we were like, awesome, cool, all right? And then here was the narrative. Somebody brought it here. And then somebody went to this country. Who are these people? And blah, blah, again, finger pointing. All right, now, I think it's silly, foolish, wrong, all right? It's not even factual. But it just shows this kind of human nature that we got from Adam in the garden, that we want to point a finger at someone, alleviates us of responsibility, and then it gives us someone that we can be, where we can put our fury upon. All right. Now, did Paul, if anyone had a right to do this, it was Paul. All right. So, a little bit of a storm, big storm, horrible storm. Now, why has it happened? Because they didn't listen to God, they didn't listen to Paul. And now Paul is in this storm. If anybody could have been upset, oh, I tell you, I'm going to die. I'm supposed to get to Rome. I'm never going to finish my calling. And these jokers wouldn't listen to me. If they'd only listen to me. That is not what Paul's response was. All right, let's fast forward in this account. Go to verse 21. All right, here's Paul's response to a storm that wasn't his fault, that could have been avoided. All right? But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and have not sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss." All right? Now, if you understand Paul's personality type, he kind of just had to get that in there. All right? So, now what is he saying? It's a fact. You should have listened to me. All right? Verse 22, "And now I urge you, take heart." Now, is Paul judging them? Is he upset with them? No. Is he calling a curse upon them? No. Is he crying and moaning? No, he's actually now preaching to them. The very guys that got him into this trouble, he said, "Hey guys, take heart. Take heart. Something you can do." All right, he cared for them. "For there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship." Why? "For there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve." All right, so the God that I belong to, the God whom I serve, he sent a messenger, spokesperson, saying, verse 24, "Do not be afraid, Paul." Now, is everyone else afraid? Yep. Is Paul supposed to be afraid? No. Isn't that what Jesus told the disciples? Why are you afraid? You don't have to be afraid in a storm, and even a storm that you feel like, somebody should have done something. Should have closed the borders or opened the borders or got hand sanitizer, whatever. Rah, rah, rah. Stop it. Don't be afraid. Listen to God and begin helping people around you. That was Paul's response. He said, "Don't be afraid. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. The plan of God will come to pass. You are going to the other side. You will testify before Caesar. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me." Now, had it changed yet? Were there smooth? No, it's still crazy. It is still red alert. People have given up hope. But Paul has heard from God and he has said, "Guys, take heart, because here's the deal. I believe God." Now, what am I basing my belief on God? based on what he has told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island. So, even though Paul recognized their error and even told them their error, he wasn't mad. He wasn't bitter. He didn't get on the equivalent of Twitter back then and type out, "Some people, dot, dot, dot." Angry face emoji with the smoke going up. Arr! No, he didn't do any of that. That's immaturity. That's silliness. All right? It's misplaced aggression. All right? He listened to God. God says, "Hey, Paul, you're going to make it. I told you you're going to Rome. You will testify before Caesar. And these guys, because they're with you, they're gonna make it because I'm delivering you as well." All right? So Paul believed certain things in the storm. He believed certain things so much that he could give this away to others. He was trying to help others get through the storm that he was getting through as well. All right? So what did he believe? Firstly, Paul believed that God's plan is coming to pass. God's plan is coming to pass. Now, Miracle Life, I believe we've had a few weddings that have happened during this time. And, you know, we have people haven't had to have, didn't get to have wedding receptions. And you know, they're superstitious and silly people that will say, you were married during COVID. That's a bad foundation. No, the only thing that didn't happen is somebody didn't eat chicken the night you got married. That's the only thing that didn't happen. There's no curse. There's no worry. In fact, probably many of us have gone to marvelous wedding receptions that were followed by horrible marriages. All right? A great wedding reception doesn't mean anything. It just means we ate and we enjoyed the dancing. All right? It has no value whatsoever other than it's fun. All right? So sorry you didn't have to have fun, but don't let people say that God's plan is not coming to pass. Maybe God has put something in your heart for business to employ people and to make a difference in our community and our nation. Is it tough right now? Yeah. Did it take a huge dip? Yeah. Is God's plan going to come to pass? If you believe it, if you don't give up, if you keep listening to what God's trying to communicate to you instead of running around like these sailors and the disciples from last week. All right. So he believed that God's plan was coming to pass. Drowning was not in his future. All right. The disciples believed that. Paul did, spoke nothing of drowning. All right. He said, "I believe God. While everyone is going crazy, you be the sane person in the room, in the church, in the family, in the business to say, you know what? I'm sorry. I believe God. I trust him. He is faithful and his word is true, and I am going to the other side, and I'm going to know and experience the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Thank God for heaven, and thank God for the goodness of God there, and it is real and it is awesome, but I'm going to experience the goodness of God in the land of the living. All right? He believed God. Just a few chapters before this one, we see that Paul and Silas, it was years before, but Paul and Silas were in a jail cell in Philippi, had been beaten, had been bruised, in a, almost, you could say, left for dead, in chains, and it was midnight, and they sang so loudly the prisoners heard them. And God shook the jail and shook their chains, and they walked out and kept the jailer from committing suicide, and he got saved in his whole household. Revival. Why? Because at midnight, with a bloody back, they lifted up their hearts and their hands and they sang praises to God. And I want to encourage you during this season, and if it looks dark and if it looks terrible and everybody else is throwing stuff overboard, lift up your voice to God. Sing praises to God. Amen? Let your heart and mouth magnify the Lord. So he believed God. He believed God's plan and will would come to pass. And then he said, "I believe it will be unto me as it was told to me." Now, you and I might say, "Well, you know, Pastor Walker, it's been a while since an angel visited." All right. And in the New Testament, angels kind of visit for two reasons. You're in big trouble, or you've made a big mistake. All right. So if an angel hasn't visited you lately, that's not a bad thing. All right. But you don't have to have an angel to talk to you to know that God has spoken to you, because he has spoken to you through his word. Many exceedingly great and precious promises are yes and amen to you because of Jesus Christ. All right. So while there is a storm and while there is disruption, do you know what God has said? Now, something that's so important, and we see that Paul had already done this, and he was exhorting the other guys to do this, is take heart. Take heart. All right. And sometimes we think that our heart is something that we can't really control. But God expects us to manage, all right, what's in our heart. All right. Because guard your heart, because out of it flow the issues of life, Proverbs tells us. All right. So take heart. And that means let your heart be fixed on Jesus. Let your eyes be fixed on Jesus, upon his promises, upon his character. Meaning, I'm going to Rome. I'm going to Rome. I will testify before Caesar. I will do the will of God in my lifetime. And I will have what God says I can have. Not my pipe dream, not some silly idea. But I will have what God says about my life. And I believe it in the middle of the storm. All right. I hope this week somebody asks you, why are you so happy? Things are happening here. Things are happening there. Why are you so happy? Well, I've got inside information. I've got information inside the mind of God, inside my Bible, that gives me joy and it gives me peace because I know God. All right. Now, take heart. Now, we're not going to get into this part of the story, but please be aware that, remember Paul says, but we're going to run aground. That means they're going to go to this island. All right. You could make an argument before it got better, it got worse. All right. So they were shipwrecked. That's not so much fun. Well, then they were shipwrecked on an island. Then Paul got bitten by a venomous snake. He shook it off into the fire. He didn't die from it. All right. Why? Because I'm going to Rome and I'm going to testify before Caesar, and a snake and a storm are not going to stop me. Amen. All right. So I wish I could tell you, you know, in 3 days, it's all going to be sunny. We don't know exactly when maybe circumstances will change, but we don't wait for circumstances to change to trust God, to believe what he said, and that we will fulfill the destiny of God in our life, even if it means going through a storm, even if it means shipwreck, even if it means getting bit by a snake. We're going to testify before Caesar. We're going to do the will of God in our lifetime. So I want to ask you this morning, what has God told you? What has God told you? And I don't mean a prophecy. Thank God for, we don't despise prophecies. But that's not what we base our life upon. Okay? We base our life upon what God has said in his word. What scripture are you believing today? And if you're believing a cliche, that's not strong enough. What do I mean by a cliche? Well, tomorrow's a sunny day. Or it's all okay. No, not a meme. We don't live our life by memes and cliches. We live it based on the rock and the steel of God's word in our heart and in our mind. You got to get it there. You got to have it there. All right. And if it's shaky, oh, friend, man, make sure this is on your bedside table. Make sure this is where you drink tea and coffee. Memorize the scripture. Keep them on cards, on your mirror, on your refrigerator, whatever you need to do to keep the word of God before your eyes so that it's in your heart during stormy times. Take heart, believe God. It will be to you as God has said it. Amen. Amen. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name that you have the audacity to tell us, believe me. Believe me in the wilderness. Believe me when you cross the Red Sea. Believe me when the dollar is 19-1 to the kwacha. Believe me in the middle of a worldwide pandemic. God, we trust you. Our heart is set upon you because you are faithful. You are not a liar. You have not said it and you will not do it. So we trust you, Father. Not on a good idea or a hope, but God, based on what you have said in your word. Father, we will see your goodness in the land of the living. All of our children are taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace and the prosperity of our children. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Father, not just for an encouraging word, but the rock of your word that we can build our house upon. And when the storms come, we will still be standing because we have built our life on the rock of the truth of Jesus Christ and what he has said to us. Amen, amen, amen. Now, if you're watching today, if you're part of this service and you don't know Jesus, you can. God wants you in his family. He's a good father. And he wants to show you fatherly care. And I know sometimes people use language, well, we're all God's children. The Bible makes it very clear we are not at all God's children. All right? We were all born into this world under another family, the family of sin, under the bondage of destruction. And so we have to be rescued. We have to be taken out of that family into another family. Now, the wonderful thing is Jesus came for you. He died for you. He allowed himself to be whipped and beaten, and the curse of sin was placed upon him. The Bible says he became our sin offering, and he died in our place. And he rose again, and he ascended, and he seated at the right hand of God, and he loves you. Now, Jesus put it this way. He said it to as many, John, who knew Jesus really well, he's put it this way. He said, to many as received Jesus, to those people, God gives them the power to become the children of God. So you need power. You need something to make you be alive and part of the family of God. And that is believing on Jesus. And when you do, then God gives you the power to become a child of God. So if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I want to be a child of God. Well, God wants you in his family, so let's pray. If you're backslidden, come home today. Let's pray this prayer together. And so wherever you are, I want you to close your eyes. Maybe you're wherever you are, it might be appropriate. You can just kneel where you are, the side of your bed or a couch or a chair. Just kneel before the Lord right now and say these words with me. Say, God, I believe you sent Jesus Christ to die in my place. He is raised from the dead. He is seated with you in majesty, and I repent of my sin. I turn my back on the world, and I believe Jesus. He is my Savior. He is my Lord. I follow him for the rest of my life with all of my heart until I die. Jesus is my Lord. Amen and amen. Oh, friends, if you prayed that prayer, here's what the Bible says. Heaven is throwing a party because of you. God is thrilled that you are in his family. And at Miracle Life, we are too. And so there are many ways now to understand who you are and that you are a son, you're a daughter of God. And you're not what other people have said. And so we want to help you to understand some things and to walk as a child of God for the rest of your life. So whatever platform you're on, if it's YouTube or Facebook, just write in the comments, say, I'm saved. I'm a child of God. And please pray for me and somebody will reach out to you. All right? We want to do that today. Now, if you're a Miracle Life member, we love you. Maybe you're facing a tough situation in life and you say, Pastor, boy, the storms, the stuff is rising. And we talked about some great ways to trust God. But here's another thing. You don't have to trust God alone. There are people that want to be in your life. And so in the comments on the platform that you're in, just type, can I have some prayer? Or please contact me. And there's some prayer people ready, stand by. They'll be with you within 24 hours of when you're watching this right now. And they'll connect you with God's love and with his word, and we will stand and we'll see a miracle together. Amen? So, God is good. His word is true. He is for us. And so we're going to have a great, great week this week. Even if there are storms around us, we're going to believe God. We're going to believe what he said. We're going to be a great blessing to others and give hope to everyone around us. God bless you. We love you so much. We will be with you together this same time next week at Miracle Life Family Church. God bless you.